Barashith. What does Barashith mean? What?
Barashith.
Yeah, Barashith Bara. That's the first words. All right. Let's go there, and I want you to take out your little alphabet here also, and just look at that for a moment. And just say them together with us. Now, I didn't do this last week or the week before. I wrote this in 1973, as you see. That's a long time ago. Say Aleph.
Aleph.
Beth.
Beth.
Gimel.
Dalet.
He. Wah. Zion. Chet. Teth. Yod. Kof. Lamet. Mem. Nun. Samek. Ayin. Pei. Sadi. Kof. Resh. Sin. Shin. Tau. Okay? Now, let's go back and look at something else there. Now, every Hebrew letter, it was a picture, it was a symbol, a language of symbols. Okay? It's a symbolic language. The oldest Aleph that we have in the oldest writings looks like this. What do you think that might be? What do you think it might be? The Aleph. Huh?
Looks like a bull.
It's a cow's head.
Right.
It's a head. The cow. A cow's head. And horns are always a type of what in the Bible? Strength and power. Mm-hmm. All right? So what we have here is the head. The beginning of strength and everything. That's the word Aleph. So the word Aleph now evolved to look like this. Okay? That's what it looks like now. Aleph. And then Beth. Beth. Beth means house. House. Where we have Bethany. We have all of these words, Bethany. We have the woman's name, Beth. Everything that starts with a Beth or ends with a Beth means house. What?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem. The ham means bread or food. House of food. It was a very productive area. House of food. All right, Bethlehem. And then Gimel. 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 I write a little bit different. I think a little better than the Hebrew. I try to make it, and Sharon knows this. Many people that read my Hebrew writing cannot read the Hebrew in printed Bibles because it is so sloppily done. It's done very sloppy. This Gamal here, that is a camel. A camel. And Marilyn, do you remember what camel means?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's a gift.
It's gift of God. Camel means gift, el, gift of God. Camel, gift of God. And then we have the word Dalet. 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 That little Dalet there. Dalet. Like that. Even got a doorknob on it. See that? That makes it hard. That it would be D-H, D-H. Sometimes in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a word, a doggish in the middle of it makes them two. Double D. It'll be double D. Okay? But here we have a door. A door. The door to the house. Okay? The door to the house. Dalet. The door to the house. And then hey. Hey. And a lot of times you just see it like this in the printing. But I do this. I leave so I can, you can tell that hay from this one. What is that one? That's Chet. That's a CH sound. So here we have hay. Hay. And that is a window. A window. The window. And the Jews always talk about the windows of the soul. Where is the window of the soul? What is the window of the soul?
The eyes.
The eyes, yeah. The eyes. The eyes are the window of the soul. So window. Window. All right. Hey, and then we have the wow. The wow is like this, and the yod is a little thing like that. But the wow is a reaping hook. How many of you have ever seen an old scythe? You ever seen one of those, Vincent? Mm-hmm. A sign? Yeah. That's what it, that's a picture of that. A wow. Now, in the modern Hebrew, that is not wow. Sharon, you remember what it is in modern Hebrew? It's a ba. 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 Why is it not wow and ba? Remember the etymology of this now? The modern etymology of this.
The Germanic and they don't
it, it, can Germans say W's?
No.
No. That's why they don't say wow. It is ba now. Because from their German background, it comes from ba, the Yiddish. Okay? And so we have the wow, and then we have Zion. Zion. Like that. The old was like this. The old Zion was like this, and that meant weapon. A weapon. That's like a tomahawk or a club with a rock on the end of it. A weapon. And then we have the word Chet. 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 Like this one right here. Chet. What does that look like? A fence post. A fence with a post across the top of it. A fence. A lot of times people will put fences like that and run wire underneath it. Or in the old days, they'd put it like this and grow vines over it like thorn bushes and things. That would be make a fence, okay? So that's the Cheth is a fence. And then we have the word Tet. Can you tell me what you think this looks like? That's a Tet right there. And that's a, that, there's a lot of T's and a lot of S's in Hebrew. Lots of T's. What? Nahash. We Nahashi Shihani. And the devil, and then the old snake made me do it, you know. Tet. That's snake. All right? Snake. Did you ever hear a snake going, like tet. All right? Spitting. Those vipers spit, don't they? Vipers spit. The cobras. And then we have the yod. The yod. The yod is this little thing right here. What does that look like? A hand like that. That means hand. Yod. All right, yod. And then cough. Cough is like this. And I like to make it a little bit shorter. We got another one like this. That's different. You know, these letters look alike, and you write them in Hebrew writing, you can't tell one from the other, period. So I make them a little different for that reason, so they could read it more easily. Kaf is an open hand. See that? Open hand. Open hand. Well, yod, and then kaf, like that. Open hand. And then we have lament. Lament. Like that. Lament. What do you think that might look like? A whip. A whip. And then we have what?
I just put a marker on.
All right. And we got ma'am.
Sound like my parents.
Yeah.
I'm hearing this.
Now, I write. My ma'am's a little different. A lot of these, the psalmic here looks just like that. You can't tell it in Hebrew writing sometimes. But here's the ma'am. That's an M in the word, or in the beginning of the word, and this is a mem on the end of it. There are words and finals. Can anyone tell me what this is? Before 1800, English had two S's. Before 1800, English had two S's. If you look at the word, the Constitution of the United States, and it was 1776, you know. You'll see Congress, and people, I used to hear people say Congress. It's not Congress, it's Congress. This was an S and a final S. And in Greek, you've got the same thing. You've got an S, or a sigma, and a final sigma, just like that. Guess where we got our English S? From the Greek.
It's funny you say that, because some of my books are written in English.
Yeah.
England, writing, and I always see two S's all the time.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they put two S's on there.
Yeah. Well, the old English before 1800, and I have books. You may have some books before 1800. Okay, before 1800, you'll have this. That's an S and a final S. Okay? And this is what it'll look like at the beginning of the word. The word sir. That's sir in Old English. The F and the S look just the same like, but this is surf. Surf. Little history lesson. All right, while we're going along. And then, ma'am, none, neen, like that, and it's like this also. That's a fish. That's a fish. A fish. Oh, by the way, ma'am was waters. Ma'am is waters. I forgot to tell you that. And Lamanth, of course, is a whip. And then we have waters. We have fish. And then we have somic. Somic. This is why I like to make the somics like this. So you can tell that from other things. The somic. Somic. And that is a prop. Prop. The old somic was like this. Like that. It's a prop. Like a tent. Stake. All right? And then we have iron. Iron. That's an iron. And guess what that might be? Any of you ever seen a crawdad?
A crawdad?
Uh-huh. You know what a crawdad looks like? You ever seen a crawdad, Vince? Vincent, it's got eyes on little sticks.
Yeah.
And a crawdad is nothing but a freshwater lobster, is it? Lobster, and many of these creatures have little eyes. And that's where they got the idea. That's iron. Iron. And then we have the word pay. Pay, that's a mouth with a tongue in it. Pay is a mouth with a tongue in it. Now, I'm just taking a little time tonight to show you this. I don't need to bore you to death. And I'm not trying to teach you Hebrew, so to speak, but at least be familiar with it.
Amen.
That's a cough. A cough. Now, the word pay, pay there is a mouth with a tongue in it. And then sade, iron, and then pay. Iron was an eye, pay is a mouth, the sate is the fish hook. Now the sate, this is a little different than the iron. It's got eyes on it too. That's the sate. And that's the TSI sound. We got plenty of T's in Hebrew, and their language is full of S's and T's. Okay? That's a TS sound. Sate. And then there's a final thought, hey, like this at the end of a sentence or at the end of a word. There are several. Thought, hey, and then we have kof, wherever I put it, kof, someplace a while ago. Right here is kof. The kof is the back of the head. See how that might be the back of the head, and this is the face. All right. Kof is the back of the head, and then we have resh. Resh, that's like our R, and that is the head itself. And then we have these two funny looking things. Sin and shin. And that's an S. It's an S sound and an SH sound. S and an SH. And then we have the word towel. Towel. That's a towel. The Hebrew towel. And the Hebrew towel comes from the cross. Ancient Hebrew, when they wrote the towel, was like this. All right? It was like that. Now, as you see Hebrew and you study Hebrew and we talk about the language and everything else, you will understand that these names mean something. Beth, the word Beth, the letter Beth is house, and the name Beth is house. All right? And Bethulah and Alma is two Hebrew words, Alma and Bethulah. Alma means a sexually mature woman. Okay? And, by the way, back then, that was 12 years old. That was when they got married. You know, that was, the Hebrews wanted their women to get married by the time they was 12 years old. Get them married before they get promiscuous. That was the whole idea, so they could be a Bethulah. Bethulah. What do you think that means? That means virgin, okay? But what Bethulah, what do you think it's got in it?
It's the Beth.
Beth in it, so that means what?
House.
This means a girl that has been watched carefully by her family, that she is a virgin. They watch her. They watch her. Make sure she is. And the word Bethulah means virgin. Okay, that means virgin. The word Alma means sexually mature, and sometimes they translate it virgin, but it is not. It just means someone old and that is sexually mature. That's what it means.
Well, again, God didn't give me a book. It should be in the towel, man.
You have her in jail, huh?
In jail.
I had one of those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had one of those. All right, now let's go back to the book of Genesis, book of Bereshith. Bereshith means what? Bereshith means beginnings or in beginnings, literally, in one of the beginnings. Bereshith, let's say that. Bereshith. Bara, Elohim, Et Hashemayim, Weet Haaretz. In beginnings, he had created Elohim, Et, the heavens, the cosmos there. It means cosmos, doesn't it? And then it says, and we et haaretz, and the earth. So God created the universe before he created the earth, didn't he? And then he placed the earth in exactly the right place. So we have a statement here that says God created the heavens, the earth, and that's that. Now, this isn't the oldest statement in the Bible. The oldest statement in the Bible is John 1:14, in arche ein ho logos, in beginning kept on being, and that's singular, not plural beginnings, in beginning kept on being the ho logos, which is the Hebrew Hebraism for Hadabar, which means what? The Jehovah. So every time you see there in John, that first chapter where it says the word, it means the Jehovah, the one who shall become. Kai Halogos Arx Eganito in John 1:14 says, and the Jehovah Sarx flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Genesis 1 and 2, we begin the dark side. Secrets from Genesis. We Haaretz. Hatia. Tohu. Wabuhu, Wichoshek, El, Panay, Tahum, Wiruah, Elohim, Meripasheth, El, Panay, Hamayim. And then it says here, and the earth, she had become formless and void. She had become tohu wabuhu. She had become total destruction. She was destroyed. The earth was destroyed. The earth wasn't created. And we looked at that last week, didn't we? But something, what happened to the earth? Who destroyed the earth? Did God destroy his own earth? Did God create the earth as a massing, rolling, roaring mud ball? Did God create man and he evolve into a mankind? How did he do it? He creates perfect things, doesn't he? So he created a perfect earth, and she became formless and void. Now, we know that, and it says, and Spirit God, we ruah Elohim merichafeth. And Spirit God, ruah Elohim, and Spirit God suffered over, mourned over, brooded over, and I remember a story, whether it was true or not, a farmer's barn burned down. And he went out there the next day in the daylight and looked at this barn, and there was a mother hen that had baby chickens, and she was dead. She was dead. She had burned. And all around her was burned. And he kicked her a little bit, and out come the baby chickens. She had sat on the baby chickens and guarded them, and feathers are a real good insulator. They're a good insulator. And she saved her baby chickens by brooding over them. And this is the same word. They use the word brooding there, but it means more to protect, to mourn over, to suffer over. And it's feminine, and it's a participle, and it's in PL stem. That means intensified, suffering over. L means upon, pane, the faces of the waters. Spirit God mourned over and suffered over and brooded over the faces of the waters. And we went to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and we found out what happened to the earth. Now let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Now the book of Ephesians is not the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a circular letter that was written to all the churches and even to us today. It was written as a circular letter to all the churches. Paul sent a copy of it to the church at Ephesus, and they copied many copies of it and sent it out all over. So it's a circular letter or a general epistle to all of the churches. This is what we call the heavenly letter. The letter from heaven. It shows and opens up the glory of God in such a way that probably no other book in the New Testament did. It just opens the doors of heaven, and it just opens one door after another. And it talks about how wonderful in the first chapter how God picked us out and earmarked us and branded us for the resurrection. And it says that we one time were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Christ, well, he loved us while we were still enemies toward him. And Ephesians 2 and 1, it says, "And you Gentiles," that's who he's talking about, "being dead ones in your sins, your trespasses, but you find stumblings, and in the sins of you," that hamartia, that word means to miss the mark, and not to miss the mark, but to go astray. It means to go out of the pathway. Not to miss the mark, but to go out of the pathway. Amen. The word astokio means to miss the mark. And the mark is Jesus Christ and his perfect life. "In which then ye had walked around according to the age of the world this." To the age of the world this. The age. That word age there, aiona. How long has the devil been doing his stuff? Look up here and this little chart right here. When did the devil rebel? In eternity past. Okay? In eternity past. When did he destroy the earth as we saw it in Genesis 1 and 1? In eternity past. Not in space and time now. This is before. Here we have the creation, which we're going to get into in the book of Genesis. We're going to see the secrets of the creation. Here we have God creating man, and there were how many Edens? Two Edens. The one in eternity past and one in space and time that was in the Garden of Eden. The Garden in Eden. Okay, Eden means a palace, a throne room. Each Eden was a throne room. One was the throne room of Lucifer, and one was the throne room of Adam. Now, Adam had the title deed to this earth, didn't he? Did he not? God says, guard this earth. Guard it. Guard it. And guard it from what? From what?
From Satan.
From Satan. He said, guard it from Satan and what else? Spiritual forces. Now, we know that spiritual forces, spirits are real, aren't they? Angels have material form, they're clothed spirits, and they have souls, and we have spirits that in some way have souls and spirits, but no, we're not, they're unclothed. So spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. And how much? Now we know that the Spirit God dwells in us, doesn't He? When we're born again, Spirit God dwells in us, and that's what marks us for the resurrection. That's what how God is going to pick us up here at the resurrection. He's going to gather us up because we're earmarked. It says, "And in which is what it says then." Ye walked about according to the age. Ever since eternity past, Satan has had an army. Has he not? Now, man's job was not to sit back there and eat donuts and watch football and whatever else. You know, we get the idea, you know, that people do when they're relaxing today. Man was not supposed to just sit down. In heaven, we're not going to float around on pillow clouds as beds. We're going to do things in heaven. God is a God of energy, isn't He? He's a God of action. And God created man to be a man of action. And churches are to be churches of action, aren't they? Churches of action. Because we're created to glorify God. He walked about according to the age of the world this. Now, when mankind chose to sin, he chose to sin. The sin nature is not passed on through the woman, it's passed on through the man. And it's through the blood of man that the sin nature and the infection of sin is. Well, we come all the way down to here. We find all of this. We find Adam's failure. We find the age of conscience and what was supposed to happen then. Well, mankind and angels got involved here too, and spirits. Angels and spirits always get involved. And we had a flood which killed all of these hybrid angel humans, cross beings, what they call Nephilim. Now, there were many Nephilim before the flood. And if you read the book of Enoch, what do you find in Enoch? All people are running around today with vampire teeth, don't they? And they got vampire marks on their necks and tattoos and all this kind of stuff over, and they'll have blood dripping down from it. Have you seen these things? These markings and things? You know where the vampire idea came from? These Nephilim. Nephilim, and before the flood, was mankind given animals to eat over here?
No.
But we find out that the Nephilim were killing animals and depopulating the animal population of the earth, and when they ran out of that, they were killing men and drinking their blood. And blood is a very precious in the sight of God, because it says the life is in the blood, isn't it? Now, you got your Jehovah's Witness brethren today that won't take blood transfusions because they said you're eating blood. That's what you call, they used to feed you through the veins. They're not eating blood. I don't eat blood. Don't eat blood, okay? Now, some people will take blood sausage and all this kind of stuff and eat blood. I don't think we should do that still today. I think it is we need to honor animals when they die because they give their lives for us. You hear me praying like that because I get it way back yonder, okay? Animals right here, if you killed an animal over here, you had a death sentence on you. You shed an animal's blood, your blood would be shed. As simple as that. Over here, even in the beginning of the law in the 40 years in the wilderness, they could not kill an animal out there. If you killed an animal at home, it was a death sentence for you. You had to take that animal to the priest, and the animal had to kill it kosher, in a kosher way, and to bury its blood with honor, because it shed its life for you. And that was a type of what? Every lamb that died, every animal that died, here, all the way to there, was a type of Christ shedding His blood for us. Okay? Now, these vampires, these Nephilim, drank blood. Well, God cleansed the earth of them here. Now, these are spirit beings that became angels that cohabited with them in Genesis 6 and 2, which we'll get over there. Okay? Bene ha Elohim, the sons of God, and the daughters of men. And we find that, and we find out who was Goliath. What was he?
He was
a Nephilim. And how many of them were there?
What?
How many altogether that we know of? Just by what we call understanding the scripture. How many brothers did he have?
Five total.
There were five total. Did they have a daddy? How many is that?
Six.
Who was Og? And the Bible even names, when we get to Genesis 6 chapter, we're going to name all these secret guys. We're going to name all of Goliath's brothers and what it took to kill them. Okay? When we get there, you're going to look deep into this. You're going to see this. And you know where I found all this information out? It wasn't from books. It was from that book. And that book names all of Goliath's brothers in Hebrew. That's a Hebrew lexicon. Brown, Driver, Briggs. I didn't read it in any book. That's where it came from. And I wrote them down. I knew there were a bunch of them. And then it says, and this was Goliath's brother, this was Goliath's brother, this was Goliath's brother. And I read the lexicon like people read books. So that's how I found this information out. And as I put it out preaching over the internet, guess what? People have picked up on it. When I saw that Bigfoot in Fish Lake Valley in 1985 or so, it just scrambled my brains. Where in the world? What? I don't believe in these things. But now I saw one. So I began to understand, what is this thing? Because it scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I'm not afraid of wild animals. I'll just go after. I got a .22 pistol. That's what was my big game one. That's what I killed bears with, the lions, and wild hogs. Nothing else. And Dieter Bergstrasser thought I was crazy. I got in there with this wild hog. I ended up shooting him 14 times. He was charging me, and I just kept shooting him. He's going to get killed. Let's go get a 308 or 30-06 or something. I said, I got it taken care of. But when it came to that Bigfoot, I was a coward, scared completely to death because it was supernatural. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural being. And then I began, when they questioned me with the Bigfoot research and everything, I said, I think it's a Nephilim. Now you go out on the internet, and guess what? Our Bigfoot Nephilims. And they've heard me preach, and here it is, all over the internet. All over the internet. Spirit world, the dark side of the world, is very real. Last Sunday night, when I was teaching from the Gospel of Mark, I talked about traveling outer-body, out-of-body experiences. Out-of-body experiences. Okay? Now, we know that some of the Buddhist priests, and we know that some of the Indians in America, and we know that in the dark, in the times past, in many of the historical writings, that people had out-of-body experiences, and Muhammad swears up and down he went places. And one of them was his night journey, that he went from Mecca to Jerusalem. And he didn't leave the bed. His body was in the bed with his wife and his sister's house, and they said, don't you... And he got up in the morning, he told this story, and he said, don't tell anybody. Because they know he had to be lying or something was going on here. But then they questioned him later on, what was going on? If you really went there, what was going on? Did you fly there? He said, I rode that Baruch. I rode him. And the Baruch was the body of a mule and the head of a human. And the description of him was like in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 of Lucifer. Okay? And so he had an angelic visitor. And this angelic took his spirit, and he went had an out-of-body experience, and he went there, and then he said he went to the seven heavens. And he saw all these beings and people up there, and he saw millions, 10 million of these Baruchs. How many angels are there? How many bad angels are there? All right, too many. Okay, a lot. There's 1/3 of all the angelic forces, and there's millions of them, I guess. Myriads and myriads and myriads of them. So people, the spirit world is real, and we are greatly influenced by the spirit world. The spirit world can lead you astray. Many people in religion today depend upon feelings, do they not? We need to take the Bible and depend upon the Bible and understand our feelings by interpreting the Bible. Not what we think or what we feel, but what the Bible says. So be careful. What does the word careful mean? Full of care, or full of terror, or full of anxiety. careful. Be careful. It's real. I tell you one thing. When I saw that thing, I was full of fear. I was terrified of it. And I'm not terrified of animals. I'm terrified of what that was. Because I was dealing with the spirit world, and I don't like the spirit world. I don't like visitors from the spirit world unless it's God's spirit. That's good. At times I've seen God's spirit work with me and work with people's lives, and this is wonderful. But how do you think Charles Taze Russell got all his information from Mary Ellen White or Joseph Smith? Do you think that was real? Do you think they actually had visitors? Very possible they had visitors. Now, Joseph Smith was pretty much a charlatan anyway, but could he have had visitors from the dark side? Secrets from the dark side? If you read the book of Enoch, you'll find out what these bad angels, how they influenced the human race. What was one of the most advanced cultures in early? What was the greatest early culture? Egypt. And they painted their eyes. And it talked about the angels teaching men, women how to paint their eyes and make their lips look red. That's what they did back then. And you see this in ancient Egypt. You see all this. And what were they worshiping? They were worshiping demons, is what they were worshiping. And they were looking like. And then what do we have today? Do we have these people imitating this today? And this is scary, because this is a real world that we're fooling with. We're fooling with a real world. Can you get information? Do people in seances, do they get real information sometimes? If it's real, there's a lot of fakes out there and fabrications, but sometimes the dark side comes through. These sheriff's department and everything that are dealing with these people that give them information that could become nowhere but the dark side. And they say God give them the gift. Then that you walked around according to the age, the eternal age, from the ages of old, that brought into this world this spiritual power. According to the ruler, the chief of the authority of the air. And it says the last word is pneumatos, Brother Ray. Pneumatos. What does pneumatos mean?
Pneuma
is spirit. Mm-hmm. It's like ruach in Hebrew. Pneuma is spirit. Pneumatics. Pneumatic wrenches and all that kind of stuff. Air power. That's what it means. Breath or air. And to authority. Now, exousia. Do you remember what that means, Sharon? Exousia. The Greek word.
Yes. It's like the ultimate authority. There's nothing above.
No limits.
Yes.
No limits. Yes. And as far as we can see, spiritual powers are tremendously paranormal, aren't they? Outside of our normal realm. They're paranormal. They're powerful, aren't they? Nothing that we can understand in the physical world of science, this is beyond physical science that we understand as man and natural man. The rulers of the air. And that's now energizing and the sons of apostasia, of disobedience. That word there means unpersuaded. Everyone you try to talk to about Jesus Christ that's unpersuaded, it says the sons, wheels. That's the word, wheels, actually. What's wheels, Brother Ray?
There?
Yeah, wheels. I know you got an eraser up here somewhere.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
All right, wheels. Now in Greek, there's the word raphos. What does that mean, Sharon? Do you remember?
That's a newborn baby.
That's an embryo. At the embryo from the time that's conceived. You want to know when life began? If you want medical science to know when life begins, these medical people out there trying to figure out when you can have an abortion or not, that's at conception, brepos. And then we have Napios. All right, what's Napios? What's an APO? Marilyn, what's an APO?
Is that a child under the age, a certain age?
It's a speechless baby. When a kid can't talk, that's Brevos.
Okay.
Very brief. We get a word brief out of that. Or Napios, that is, Napios. That means speechless baby, and then we have Technos. Technos. Technos, we get a word technical out of it. And this is a certified birth. It's a born child. Yilad in Hebrew, it's a born child. And then we have the word Huios. And that means heir. In the Old Testament, the sons of God were who? In the Old Testament, who were the sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
Who were the sons of God? Who?
Angels.
Angels. In the New Testament, we have sons of God and sons of Satan. Do we not? The sons of God in the New Testament are sons of God when you're born from above. The first time you're born in the world, you're born from the blood of your father. The second time, once, remember the old song we used to sing? How many days, you know, happy birthday to you, and then how many days, or how many births do you have? When, have you been born again or something like that? I can't remember exactly. You would. You mean to be born again from above. The first birth is what we call the rejection of the firstborn. We're born again. We're born from God, from above. But some people are born from Satan. That ought to give you the chills. Have you ever seen somebody so demonic that you think maybe they were born from Satan? How many times can you reject God without being born of Satan? John the Baptist, when he looked at those people, those Pharisees that come to him, he said, you sons of the serpent, Huios, you heirs of Satan, who has caused you to flee from the wrath to come? And what about those demons, you know, that Jesus cast out of that gathering denomination? And they said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High, Son of the Most High. Have you come to destroy us already? He said, shut up. Shut your mouth. Don't speak. Well, Huios means heir. Some people are heirs of Satan. God's plan with man, by H. A. Kirkland, I think, he talks about those born of Satan in there. He gives quite a little bit of information on that. Huios, that means heir. That's the heir. That's the firstborn. Some people, now those people that are energized, we got a word energy. It's come energontes. It says here, the ones energizing by Satan, they're sons of the... How about Muhammad? Did he have plenty of power? How about did Garner Ted Armstrong have plenty of followings? Herbert Armstrong? Joseph Smith? Millions of people still today. Is there energy? Or is this power, this spirit of... Who's leading them? Let me tell you a little bit about Mormonism today. I know some really good people that are Mormons. They're good people. But if you start preaching to a Mormon, do you know what the elders will tell him? If you start feeling like you're under conviction and feeling bad, run from that person. Because that's the spirit of Satan. But what is it? The Holy Spirit working with them. And they're naming that Satan? To call good bad? And bad good? That's what happens. And this is the way it is. And they're really, you know, be happy. Don't have these bad, cloudy feelings when you start hearing people start preaching to you. If you do that, it's from the wrong side. Islam says, if they say that Jesus is the Son of God, that's a shirk. Don't listen to them. The Bible is corrupted. The Bible is corrupted? If the Bible is corrupted at all, it's what we call the Quran, the Hadith and the Sunnah. Okay? Sons of disobedience. Sons of those not persuaded. This is a real world, isn't it? We're out there facing this dark side. Secrets from the dark side. And the Bible gives us these secrets. You go talk to people that are out there in the world doing their own thing, and they think they're doing their own thing, don't they? What are they doing? They're not doing their own thing. They're doing Satan's thing. Exactly. It says, in whom also we walked up and down and turned up and down like parading, then in the passions, the lust of the flesh of us, constantly doing the will of the flesh and of the thoughts and the minds of the flesh, and ye kept on being offspring. This is technical sons of Satan. There's some deep, dark secrets in here. You know, until you're born again in this world, now when you're a little child, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But when you come to the age of accountability, that's a dangerous thing. God gives us volition, that's a dangerous thing. Volition is a dangerous thing. Do you know the will of God and you do it not? That's a dangerous thing, isn't it? If you know, if you hear the preaching of God's word and you do not follow it, it's a dangerous thing. Because if you're a child of God, you're leaving yourself open to what? The real, real, genuine world of the dark side, the spirits that can lead us astray. Follow the will of God. Follow what He says. The thoughts and the minds, you kept on being offspring by nature of wrath. We are children of wrath before we're born again. We're children of wrath. God doesn't love everybody. You hear that all the time, don't you? Does God ever love everybody? No. We're children of wrath before we come to God. We're children of wrath. We're sons of File 13, sons of hell. Now, God wants people to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. But what are you? Does God love everybody? Family Radio used to put out a packet, a little thing that says, does God love you? Does God really love you? Because they were hyper-Calvinist, you know. Does God really love you? Have you ever been called of God? Well, if you have the calling of God, that means you're one of the elect. If you don't, you're not. Does God love you? Does God love you, Trey? God so loved the world that He's going to redeem it back. John 3:16. So God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have that everlasting life. And we live in an age today where the spiritual forces of darkness are influencing. There are churches on every corner and in between, aren't there? But there's only a few of God's churches. I'm really, really happy that I'm a pastor of this church. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm happy at this. I'm happy. If I died today, I'd be happy. And I don't know what I got left. I mean, I don't feel good sometimes. I didn't feel very good before I got up here and preached. And I don't know whether I'm going to drop over some days or not because of the heart pains and all kinds of this cancer that's raging inside of me and all that. I just ignore it and go on. It slowed me down if I thought about it. Besides, I don't need to think about the dark things. I'm above ground right now, and I want to serve the Lord the best I can today. Mm-hmm. It says, but the God that's rich, being rich in mercy, because of much love, He loved us. He loved us. Are you one of the love? Who's this letter to, Brother Ray? It's to the church. Almost every letter in the New Testament is to churches. Right. To guard them. And this is the heavenly letter from heaven saying, we have a chance this day and this time to serve God. And the church, the real church, I'm not saying everybody in even a real church gets to be part of the bride, but at least you can meet the requirements of it. Mm-hmm. What does it take to be in the bride? Mm-hmm. Everything. All, not some. All and everything. That's what it takes to be in the bride. Everything. That I know. You need to have scriptural baptism. You need to be fairly doctrinally sound, okay? And you need to serve the Lord the best you can with your life. Serve the Lord. Be faithful. Be faithful. And we were dead. We were being dead. and our trespasses and sin, and He made us to be seated together Him, with Him, by grace, having been saved, and He raised us up together, and He seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know, God, He's a God of eternity. He inhabits eternity, doesn't He? Let's look here for a moment. Right here is space and time, isn't it? From there to there. This is a marked off piece of eternity in space and time. Now, does God inhabit eternity? Is that what the Bible says? Does He inhabit eternity? Can He see the beginning from the end? Can He see you seated together with Him in Christ Jesus in heavenly places? Today, He can see you with Him because He knows how your life will end. He knows that. He knows where you're going to be. He knows whether you're going to be in the bride seated with Him, or you're going to be one of the guests at the wedding. Are there guests at the wedding, aren't there? People keep thinking that, you know, everybody that's saved is in the bride. That's what we call a universal bride. There's no universal bride. And even in what we call real strict, landmark, orthodox, Southern Missionary Baptist Church is what they used to be called 50 years ago. Even in those, we don't know. There are lost people in those churches. You ever see lost people in God's churches, Brother Ray?
Absolutely.
Ooh, they're rascals. They're the ones you have trouble with.
Brother Madden used to say, it sure would be good if all the whores and the pimps and the liars and thieves and gamblers would not join God's churches.
You remember him at all, Renee? I mean, Vincent, do you remember him at all, Vincent? Not at all. He's about that tall. About that wide.
Big guy.
You remember it.
Yeah.
Well, that happens sometimes. You got God's Word tonight. You heard a little bit from it. You heard a little bit from the dark side. Secrets from the dark side. It's there. And then we're going to go see and see light. God separate light from dark. I tried to separate light from dark just a little bit tonight. There's a lot of people out there led astray by spirits that are real. And they think it's God's Spirit leading them. It is not. And you're privileged because here, you're hearing most of the truth. Mostly truth, aren't you? We try to call it out just as good as we can. We try to preach the truth. And that's what I present to you, is the truth. I hope God's Word blessed you tonight. There's a warning and a promise in it always. There's a warning and a promise. I give you an invitation. What's God want with your life? What does God want with you? What does He want from you? What does God want with you? Follow the Lord. If you're out there 10,000 miles from here, give your life to Jesus. Ask Him to save your soul, forgive you of your sins. And if you're near a New Testament church someplace, go join one.
Amen.
And serve the Lord.
Amen.
And love Him like He loves you.
Right.
And give your all to Him. Vincent, what do we have? And I know I call you the wrong name all the time.
I'm going to start answering to both of you.
You'll have to if you're around me much.
259. You have 259.
I don't have many marbles left in here. They got some of them left out somewhere.
Like I told Marilyn, just don't call me late for dinner.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Thank you.